ओमज्ञानचिनिरन्धस्य ज्ञानञ्जनशलाक चक्षुर्मीलितं येन तस्मै श्रीगुरवे नमः.
Translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada.
Jai.
Go ahead, read.
Bhishma Dev is one of the great authorities, one of the 12 Mahajans, Dwadasha Mahajans, Swayambhu, Narada, Shambhu, Kumara, Kapilo, Manu, Prahlada, Janako, Bhishma, Balir, Vyasa, Kir, Vayam. The 12 Mahajans are listed by Yamaraj. Well, I was going to say in order. Swayambhu first is. Did you say they're listed by Yamaraj?
Yeah.
He's telling this verse. So first he mentions Swayambhu means Brahma. Narada in Shambhu, which means Shiva. Swayambhu Narada Shambhu. Kumara means the four Kumaras, Sanat Kumara and the other Kumara. Kapila and Manu, which here means the again the first word of the verse, Swayambhu, so Swayambhu Manu. Then Prahlada, Janak, Janak means the father of Sita, Bhishma, Bali Maharaj, Vyasaki, which means Shukadev Goswami, and Vayam, it literally means we or me, I, referring to Yamaraj. So Bhishma being an authority on transcendental knowledge knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead. At this last phase of his life, Bhishma Dev is remembering Krishna. Now he's not mentioning so much that Krishna is the creator and maintainer and destroyer of millions of universes. Bhishma Dev knows that very well, but Bhishma Dev is expressing that even though Krishna is so great, he becomes the order carrier of his devotee. In Bhagavad Gita, in the first chapter, we find Arjuna ordering Krishna. Senayor ubhayor madhye ratham sthapya mechita. In between the two armies, Senayor ubhayor madhye, in between the two armies, put the chariot there. So this might be considered maryada langhanam, or breaking the proper etiquette. In the army, it's very important that you have to follow the authority of the leader. If the officer gives a command and the soldiers say, no, don't want to, then how can the army fight? So in the army, there's no question of refusing an order. One has to follow the higher authority. So a similar principle applies in society in general. Those who are elder and senior, they are to be respected. Now, Krishna, from the worldly point of view, is by no means the most senior person on the battlefield of Kurukshetra. But it was already established at the Rajasuya Yajna of Yudhishthira Maharaj that Krishna is supreme. At that Rajasuya Yajna, all the great personalities were present. Not only from earth, but even from the higher planets, so many demigods came. So the system is that before starting the Rajasuya Yajna, that the most eminent person present should be worshipped. That is called Adya Puja. So Sahadev, he proposed that there is no one here who is equal to or greater than Krishna, and there is no one in the whole universe at any time, past, present or future, who can ever be greater than Krishna, therefore we should worship him first. So Shishupal objected, because he was the same age and social status as Krishna from the external point of view. And he protested that there are so many, you know, Vyasadev is present, he's a great rishi, and there are so many kings who are of a higher status than Krishna. Even from the point of social status, Krishna was not a Brahmin. He was taking the role of a Kshatriya. But that also wasn't very clear, because in his childhood he was known as Nanda Nandana, the son of a Vaishya. So how did he suddenly become Dwarakadhish, the princely ruler of Dwaraka? So Shishupal's objections were quite pertinent according to the worldly point of view. But as a result of making those objections, he lost his head. In English, if you say someone has lost his head, it means he's gone crazy. Or it means he's lost his sense of discrimination. He's not really thinking properly. But Shishupal literally lost his head, because Krishna mercifully cut it off for him. So you may say, well, what was wrong? What did he do wrong? He was making a valid objection. But it was not valid. Because Krishna, although appearing as Nanda Nandan or Dwarakadhish, he is Ishvara Paramakrishna Satyar Ananda Vigraha Anadir Adir Govinda Sarva Karana Karanam. Although he might have appeared to be a materially attached person, in Sanskrit there's one word, strain, which means too much attached to stri, or too much attached to his wife. Strain, the word is strain. Straina in Sanskrit. So someone is criticized if they're too much attached to their wife. But from the external point of view, Krishna was too much attached to 16,108 wives. When Satyabhama became upset with him, that, well, I want one of those flowers too, this Parijata flower that you gave to Rukmini, you didn't give to me. So just to get her one flower, Krishna had to go all the way to the Swargaloka, fight with Indra, and do a big mess just for some flower. So from the external point of view, Krishna appeared to be a big bogey, big materialist. Actually, he is the big bogey. He is the only bogey. If we say this person is a great bogey, big enjoyer, that's a criticism. If we see someone, you know, they got so, like, you know, five rings on each finger, and, you know, so many decorations, and, you know, they say, no, this is too much, you know, it's just too much show. He's just obsessed with himself. He's in love with himself. And the thing that they most like to see is a mirror. The object that they like to see the most is a mirror. But Krishna, he also appears to be very self-indulgent. He says, sarvadhaman parityaja mamekam sharanam raja. Give up everything and just offer everything to me, surrender to me. Yat karoshi yadashnasi yaj juhoshi dadasi yat yat tapasyasi kaunteya tat karushma madarpanam. Whatever you do, whatever you eat, whatever austerities you perform, whatever charities you give, whatever vratam, whatever vow or ritual you follow, do it as an offering to me, Krishna says. People may think, well, that's a bit too much. You know, what about myself? I mean, serve someone or serve God, but, you know, what about me? Sri Giridhari Prabhu, I think you all know him, he comes here time to time. Yeah. He told me that just before he joined, he was working in one company, and the boss of that company was saying that he said, well, you're all working hard, but it's not enough, you have to love your company. He said, there's no need to go home, you see, you can sleep here, we'll bring you food, and you just work all the time. You sleep, you eat, and you work. Savadhaman paritya jama. They were demanding for, and people may think, well, what for? So people work, and they think, I'll work so that I can maintain my family. But if they tell you just to work and forget your family, I mean, that's over the limit. You may think, well, what about me? You know, I need some time for myself. I'm not working for the company, I'm working for my own self-interest. So people think that about religion also. Many times they say it's good to be religious, but not too much. You're religious so you can get some blessings from God, so that you can enjoy material life. But if you're too much religious, then you don't have any time to enjoy material life, and then what's the point of being religious? So, and people judge a religion in terms of what it can give you for material enjoyment. They have no idea that actually Krishna is the enjoyment. Like I was saying, if you see a materialistic person, they've got all gold chains and gold earrings and gold rings and very fancy clothes. You think, this person's just too much. They're just too much absorbed in themselves. But Krishna, he is dressed in all the nicest clothes. And he even takes many forms so that many devotees can dress him. Krishna is the best dresser. He is the enjoyer of everything. Once Prabhupada, he's saying that people ask, why has Krishna got so many queens? Why 16,108 queens? And Prabhupada said, well, why only 16,108? For Bhagavan, that's not a very big number. So he takes 16,108 forms, and 16,108 queens massage his feet and dress him, comb his hair. He's really enjoying. But he is the actual enjoyer. For him, this is quite fit. For anyone else to do like that, it's not nice. Shobham nasti. It doesn't look good. It doesn't look proper. If anyone else is self-indulgent or just absorbed in their own beauty and their own glories. Similarly, if someone comes and says, well, you know, I'm the head of this company and I've got so many degrees and I've got so much money and I'm so intelligent and everyone is praising me. Just shut up. But Krishna, he declares that Aham sarvasya prabhava matas sarvam pravartate. I'm the source of everything. Everything comes from me. He tells Arjuna, I am supreme, everything comes from me. Not only does he tell Arjuna, but he sends so many people into the world to tell everybody else about him. And Krishna is very pleased when other people speak about him, how great he is. During the time of Stalin in Russia, everyone had to praise Stalin. There were statues of Stalin everywhere. Then sometime after he died, they pulled down all the statues of Stalin. Because that was artificial praise. He forced, everyone must praise me. But Krishna doesn't force anyone to praise him. But it is for the benefit of those who praise him, they are benefited. So although Krishna is the greatest enjoyer and he likes to hear his glories praised, for him this is perfect. We see that a materialistic person, they like to praise themselves, or they arrange for others to praise them, and they live very opulently, just to show, I am better than you. This is what we call ahankar, or Prabhupada translated this as false ego. And to show themselves as very great, they have to push others down. But Krishna, even though he is far, far greater than any great person of this material world, he is not proud. And actually any great person, any greatness anyone has, is only by the mercy of Krishna anyway. Krishna is not proud, nor does he have any competitor. He doesn't have to show he's better than... He's automatically... He's far superior to anyone. That's why he can become Parthasarathi. He can become the servant of Arjuna, but it doesn't diminish his position in the slightest. In the Mahabharata, we find in the Bhagavad Gita itself that the Pandavas, they always refer to Karna as Sutaputra, the son of a charioteer. That is considered a very low position in society, definitely not on the level of a Raja or a king. So they would say that as an insulting form of addressing him. But Krishna, he is addressed as Partha Sarathi. That does not diminish his position, nor is it an insulting address. Because even though he takes the position of servant of Arjuna, there is still no question that he is anything but the supreme enjoyer and the supreme controller. So this, as I was saying, it's quite fit then that Krishna, he be addressed as Sarva Karana Karanam, the cause of all causes, and as Nanda Nandana, the little boy who is giving pleasure to Nanda Maharaj, and Partha Sarathi. He is not proud, he doesn't try to put others down or to exploit others. He is simply thinking of the benefit of others all the time. And he likes to make his devotees look as if they are greater than him. Arjuna and Bhima got the credit for winning the Kurukshetra battle. But actually it was all by the mercy of Krishna. So Krishna, even though he's supreme, his loving kindness upon his devotees is even more appreciated than his mighty powers. Bhishma Dev is appreciating his loving exchanges with his devotees. As if he is something, he's taking the position as if he's less than them. So the even in this world, it may be that someone is very rich or very accomplished, but if they still have the quality of humility, that is to be appreciated. If they achieve something very wonderful, or they're exalted, but they always say, "Actually, this is the grace of God," then that is to be appreciated. And actually, that's a fact, that the wealth of a wealthy man is the gift of Krishna. The strength of a strong man is the mercy of Krishna. The beauty of a beautiful woman is the mercy of Krishna. The intelligence of an intelligent person is the mercy of Krishna. So the essence of bhakti is simply to acknowledge this fact, that I am dependent upon Krishna. I am not independent. I am completely dependent upon his mercy. So in the material world, to be dependent on someone's mercy is a very dangerous position. You'll see the chickens are running around in someone's courtyard, and they're thinking, "Oh, these people are very nice. They give me food every day." So they think the people are very nice. I trust them. They look after me. They give me a place to live. They give me food, everything. And one day comes, and you know what happens. So in Bengali, for false love, there's a saying in Bengali, "Tomar bhalo bhasha Musulmane murgi posha," means that your love is like the way a Muslim loves his chicken. The way he maintains, literally means how he nourishes his chicken. I think this must be a very old saying, because, you know, it's a long, since a long time, it's the Hindus are also keeping chickens. But Krishna's love is not like that. Krishna can actually love us because he has got nothing to get from us. As long as we're thinking, "I can get something from this person," then there cannot be any pure love. So pure love is for Krishna and in relationship with Krishna. That means the devotees, they love Krishna and they love each other also. And they love everybody because they're not trying to exploit anybody. And they see that everyone is part and parcel of Krishna. So Bhishma Dev is great devotee, fully in love with Krishna. And he is appreciating how great Krishna is. That even though he is so great, that he takes a subordinate position in relation to Arjuna. Any question about this, please?
Yes, the same thing. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and Indra is also his devotee. So we just
Indra is a devotee, but he's not pure devotee. And sometimes he loses his head, as we use this expression. You know, sometimes, what to speak of Indra, even in our devotional society, we see sometimes someone gets a very big position and they become somewhat carried away by that. That's why generally we don't, if someone joins the ashram as a brahmachari, we don't immediately give them a very big position. Even if they're highly qualified materially, the best thing for new devotees to do is to clean all the toilets daily, because it can happen that that one doesn't really understand what is bhakti and becomes has some position over others and then starts to think, I'm superior, and then all bhakti is destroyed. So leader in Krishna consciousness means one who understands that I am served by the grace of Guru and Krishna. I have a little experience, so it's my duty to instruct others in that. But this humility is the very basis of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's teachings. Anything else? I didn't speak much about Indra, did I? Indra is a great personality, no doubt. Krishna's one name is Indranuj, the younger brother of Indra. He has the Upendra, Vaman avatar. But that also shows, that's also instructive for us, that even one may be elevated to a very great position, but if he doesn't remember that I'm always the servant of Krishna, then his attitude may become almost like a demon. Yeah, some other questions, sir?
She says that, like here, Krishna gives the credit to the devotees. But in the Rajasya India, when the highest personality is selected, he must have given the position to somebody else, like to Mr. Maharaj.
To Krishna.
Yeah.
But Yudhishthira Maharaj is himself organizing the Yagya, so he's not going to be he's not going to worship himself.
Yeah. Maybe some other personalities.
Well, Yudhishthira Maharaj, one of the reasons he organized the Rajasuya Yagya was to demonstrate to everyone that Krishna is supreme. So Krishna, he agreed, or he went along with Yudhishthira Maharaj's desire. For the benefit of everyone, Krishna sometimes has to show that he is the supreme. If the conditioned souls don't understand that, then how are they going to surrender to him? If he all the time hides himself that he's just Nandanandan, then why should anyone take any notice of him? Every parent has children and they love their children. Although all the Pandavas and all the friends of the Pandavas, they were all assigned different duties to perform at the Rajasuya Yagya. So what duty did Krishna accept? Who can say? Who's reading Krishna book? Not only Brahmins, all the people coming. All the guests, Krishna was washing their feet to welcome them.
Satyabhama was known for her pride in beauty. Why was he given
not only in beauty?
Given wealth and all. Why was Lord Krishna giving in for her whims and fancies? He used to.
Yeah. Why did Krishna pander to Satyabhama's whims when she was just, you know, a hot-headed or stubborn, proud wife? Why did Krishna pander to that? Yeah, because Satyabhama's, it's called Vamya Bhav, that's the technical term. Her left side attitude is one, all of this is out of her pure love for Krishna. She's not egoistic in a worldly sense. In Rasa Vichar, or analysis of loving relationships, there are two kinds of female lover. There are two basic divisions. There are many subdivisions, but there are two main divisions. One is Dakshin and one is Vamya. So, Dakshin, those who are of Dakshina Bhav, or the right side, they are very proper, quiet, humble, submissive, just like Rukmini. She's the exemplar of Dakshin Bhav. And Satya Bhama, she is like the exemplar of Vamya Bhav. She argues with her husband. She demands many things from him. So because Krishna is Rasa Raj. He's the king of Rasa. So that's the question. Why only 16,108 wives? There are unlimited forms of exchange that Krishna can enjoy. So Krishna enjoys that in exchange with Satya Bhama. He enjoys taking the role of a henpecked husband. This is called Ananda Chinmaya Rasa, completely spiritual, blissful rasa. Otherwise, you know, it's not that anyone can just come and tell Krishna what to do. The one who is a pure devotee, Krishna will accept that. Anything else?
I have a reverse question what Kamina Mataji asked. On the other hand, actually, we feel so much unhappiness. Krishna, of course, voluntarily accepts a lower position for his devotees. And even though he is the supreme personality of Godhead, not only in the Vedas, here in the material world also, he gives facilities or chances for the ordinary people when they want to promote themselves or show themselves as God. He gives facilities. So as a result, we devotees, we become unhappy because naturally so many conditions, so they accept these ordinary people as the supreme personality of God. Just yesterday myself in Raghavapur saw so many big posters in Nellore. This Malaipadi Amma, he has been shown as Mahavishnu. He has been given Sandhusakara Gadai also.
Call this newspaper man and tell this is cheating.
So on the other hand, like what Kanjana Mataji is saying, we are unhappy. Krishna should not be chances for this kind of thing. Even in Veda, anyway. Yes.
Therefore we have to preach. That's the answer. And we have to preach against this nonsense.
It is possible.
You can say it's in Tamil, the whole thing. The demons, they're also serving Krishna indirectly. Krishna killed so many demons. Putana, Shakata Asura, then Vyoma Asura, Aghasura, Baka Asura, Shishupal, so many. So for his devotees, they understand and accept that he's Bhagavan, but for others, this demonstrating that he's Bhagavan. So some demon presents himself as Bhagavan. So actually he's giving us an opportunity to establish who is the real Bhagavan. So take this opportunity, call that newspaper reporter, Mr. Narayana, and tell they should make an article that this man is cheating, he's a rascal. It's a good opportunity for preaching. This both in Salem and Namakkal, on the local TV station, Sri Giridhari was openly saying that this Nityananda, so-called Paramahamsa, he's simply a cheater. And his followers, they protested, you have to apologize. He didn't apologize. They went to the police, the police said, well, you know, nothing to do with us. You have any objection, you take it to him. So we should protest. You see, the Hindus are saying we don't want people to convert to Christian, but if you see that in the name of Hinduism, such a mess they're making, they're all these rascals calling themselves God, then why won't they convert to Christianity? These people are actually the worst enemies of what they call Hinduism. Because they're taking people's feelings of bhakti, and instead of, just like Prabhupada, he showed that feeling of bhakti, you take that to Krishna. But these people are saying, you bring it to me, and they've got nothing to give. They're only taking, they don't have nothing to give. You could blame me also, you see, my disciples are serving me, and you know, then they're going to have this festival in Tirupati, and there'll be a big seat and flowers and all this. But that I can only accept because I am attempting, following Prabhupada's footsteps, to give knowledge of Krishna. So you should tell, he's a very big rascal. He's trying to show himself as Mahavishnu, whoever it is. I never even heard the name of someone. And then they declare themselves Mahavishnu. You know, there are so many people calling themselves God in South India that soon the number of gods will outnumber the number of worshippers.
In Chennai, there is a man named Ravi Sangar Baba. He runs a school, big high school, and he has taught all these students that he is God.
The parents are so stupid, they send it there.
He has established 10 Vishnu avatars, dasavatars, deities in his school. But he teaches that all the students, but I am the source of all these 10 avatars.
So you should go and kick him in the face and then say, what can you do? I'll kick you in the face, what will you do?
Small students are innocent because they, in that age, they haven't thought like that.
Actually, we should get some lawyer and make cheating cases. It's cheating case.
But he runs, he goes for morning walking, starts in the morning in the beach, but he says, I'm God.
Small thing also promoted.
Huh?
Some smart thing also promoted.
Small what?
Smart TVs.
TVs are promoting him. The TV is promoting his idea, I'm God.
So you should go on the beach and, you know, get one bucket of stool, put it on his head and say, you see, you're calling yourself God, what can you do? Anyone who does that, I'll give all blessings.
So things has to be. One of our life and our daughter, she studies there, she told him all that things. She believes actually.
People are so foolish.
His question is like, generally they said that, like we are hearing, like here so many so-called sadhus, somehow that they become more famous, of course, than our Prabhupada. Maybe they may have...
They are not more famous than Prabhupada. All the demigods are praising Prabhupada. And all the idiots on this planet, they don't know Prabhupada. That's all. Among fools, fools are highly rated. Among fools, they think who's the biggest fool is the best person. But all the demigods, they're praising Prabhupada. But you turn these fools into sane people by giving them Prabhupada's books. Preaching means fighting. That's a direct quote from Prabhupada.
All these so-called gurus, then they make the mantras also.
It's horrible.
Om Namo Narayani, he has made. Then the Kalki Bhagavan has made. Lakshmi Sameha.
And this Venkatesh Suprabhatam, they make for Sai Baba this. I mean, these people are offenders in two ways. They're offenders to Bhagavan and they're offenders to devotee. See? They're offenders to Yamaraj because they're giving him so much extra work. Oh yeah, what kind of punishment he has to invent for them? It's very sad. We shouldn't just feel sorry, we should do something. Go distribute books, preach. Hare Krishna.